Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you like pumpkin pie?
Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't I? What do you got against pumpkin pie?
No, I love pumpkin pie. It's like my favorite dessert.
It's your favorite dessert? Your favorite dessert is pumpkin pie?
Yes, actually, truly, unironically, yes.
That's weird as fuck. Why the fuck is it that?
Dude.
That's not true, also. I don't
yes, it
you.
Is. Why would
you're
you
You're lying, because you're lying right now. You want to seem cool. You want to seem like one of those girls that's really into pumpkin pie.
Dude, the reason I don't talk about it a lot is because it's not often on the menu, but what you would know if you would take me out to some nicer fucking dinners, they have pumpkin pie.
So that's what this is about.
You'd see my face light up with joy.
So that's what the fuck this is about. You think I don't take you out enough? You think I don't show you off to the world?
Take me to your, like, back room dive bar restaurants.
The back rooms dive bar. I would go to a dive bar in the back rooms.
Not me. Not me, bro. You couldn't pay me enough. I like that water bottle on you. Me telling you that water bottle looked nice on you was like, that was like me trying to be good at like words of affirmation.
You're really bad at words of affirmation.
I'm so bad at words of affirmation. It's my biggest issue in every relationship.
You just, that's so strange, I guess.
Think about it.
Do you compliment me a lot?
Never. And it's not because, and it's
you're
not
like, being, for good reason.
No. I think obviously you're the best person in the whole world, and I have nothing but good things to say about you. I just would never tell you that because
you have mommy issues.
No, well, maybe, yeah, probably, but mostly because my love languages are I show the fuck up, like,
yeah,
I show the fuck up. I take care of situations. I literally will be like, what's the problem? Let's find the solution.
La, la, la.
Got it.
Yeah, it's like, done. It's handled.
It's handled.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm the same way. It's the Virgo.
It's the Virgo and probably also the mommy issues. Mm-hmm. But I literally like cannot. And I'm also really bad at receiving words of affirmation.
That's interesting. I compliment you all the time. I'm very good at giving words of affirmation.
You are so good at it.
I literally tell everyone all the time, like, very specific things that they're wonderful
I
at.
I really admire that about you.
Thank
like,
you.
Like, you really, that is one of your absolute specialties.
What do you think my worst love language is?
I would say your worst love language maybe is quality time because, and hear me out. And I don't mean that with me. I mean that in your romantic relationship because every time you and are having quality time and I like FaceTime you to be like, hey, what's up? You answer? Like, I feel like.
And maybe I could like not.
And maybe, I feel like sometimes maybe you let me sort of like override in moments. Like, you know what I mean?
I think you'd be surprised. I hear you. Basically what Jules is alluding to is that, you know, I'm FaceTiming Jules most hours of the day.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
And that's also when I'm on dates with my boyfriend or watching a movie with my boyfriend or with my boyfriend's family. I will just be cracking up in the corner on FaceTime with Jules. And that could be seen as problematic to many.
Or it's like I told you, my favorite activity in the world is to get really high and have a really like back and forth text conversation with you. Like, to me, that is a really nice hangout where we bond and get closer.
Yes, absolutely. I'm having a blast. All I'm ever trying to do is be blackout high
silence.
And text you.
Yeah. I'm sitting in silence in my bedroom that's like dimly lit and I'm sitting like this.
Just cackling.
Just laughing at myself having a rapid fire text conversation with you.
Yeah. It's usually when Ted is like, are you working still? And I'm like, yeah.
You know, exactly.
I'm still working, still clocked in.
Or it's like, yeah, like if someone were to ask me, when I was sitting there doing that with you, and someone were to ask me, like, what are you doing right now? I'd be like, I'm just hanging, like, I'm hanging out with my friend. That's my, that's my version.
It was like on your birthday when Ted texted us and was like, what are you guys up to? Because he was out of town. And I said, vibing and chilling. And what that meant is that we were both in our underwear, not looking or talking to each other, turned away in and out of napping and scrolling on TikTok for a couple hours.
Exactly. And that is vibing and chilling.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Sorry, I just got so excited to introduce someone.
Oh my god. Literally.
I just got literally so excited.
You got so excited, you literally gasped. Yeah. There's someone else in the room with us. We are not alone.
And it's not even a ghost. I know you were probably thinking ghost.
I know you were thinking it was a ghost, but it's actually
it's not. Our new amazing producer. So what you guys don't know is that Fry and I, like, obviously do everything for this podcast. And I've always said we need someone else in the room.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you and I are so, like, we just have our own language.
We just have one brain. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll go through at the end and listen back to the podcast and be like, none of this is usable.
Relatable, no way.
Yeah. No way relatable. Isolating, alienating is what it is.
Deeply alienating for audience. Yeah.
So we really needed a third person here, and
we found our third.
We finally found our third.
It's Becca. Hi, my name is Friday. My pronouns are they, them. And I look exactly like a yassified Justin Timberlake.
Ooh, that's really good. Hi, my name is Jules. My pronouns are she, they. I look like someone basically who had a one-night stand last night with a frat boy, but, like, she had not had sex with a man in a long time. So it was kind of, like,
confusing and disarming.
She kind of did it because she was feeling lonely.
Yeah.
And she's kind of emerged from the bedroom. She's in his huge t-shirt and, like, her, like, gay pants. So from the top up, it's, like, really.
Yeah, really.
And she's figuring it out.
That's a good incorporation of your outfit.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, my name is Becca. My pronouns are they, them. And I guess I look like if Where's Waldo listened to too much Alex G.
Oh.
Whoa. I was going to say if Where's Waldo smoked weed, but I am decidedly not high on this recording.
Yes.
Because I'm going to be really professional this first day.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
To our dismay.
To our deep, deep dismay. Because what we've done is we invited you over, and then, like, both of us immediately got, like, pretty blackout high.
I am not blackout high right now. Just you, and I took twice as much as you did.
I like that term, blackout high.
Thank you. Becca, thank you for being here.
Yeah. We're so excited
What
to
is
have
one hope or dream you have?
A big hope for myself in the next year is that I want to no longer have tits.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Julia and Fry are paying me, and I'm going to put all that money into my get rid of my tits fund.
Yes.
And so, like, as I work on the podcast, I'm getting closer to not having tits.
This podcast is actively supporting a top surgery. That being said, hit us up how you can donate directly to Becca's top surgery, and we'll make it happen. Gay They Podcast sponsored top surgery.
We'll be doing a live recording while you're in the surgery room.
We're coming. What you don't know is we're fucking coming to the surgery center, dude. Yeah. We're going to be there. But, like, not in, like, a your friend supporting you way.
In a monetizing.
Yeah, we're monetizing your trauma type of way.
In, like, a press coverage.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yes.
Like, you come out of surgery and, like, probably need some time to, like, be alone and recover. And we're, like, we put a mic in your face.
We're like, tell everyone.
Yeah.
Tell everyone. Yeah, what's it like getting gender-affirming surgery? Do you feel affirmed? Well, we started talking about top surgery, and literally one of the viewers wrote in saying they're getting top surgery in January.
Oh my gosh,
that's
congratulations.
You. Congratulations. And they said, could you just tell me how it was? Okay, well, when I woke up from top surgery, I was really, really dizzy. And I was really focused on that. But also, like, leading up to it, I feel like I really couldn't wrap my mind about, like, what it would be like to, like, not have boobs on my body. I was just like, huh? I don't know. I almost thought it would be kind of, like, not noticeable at first because I was, like, so wrapped up in bandaged right mm-hmm. after, right? And then, literally, it wasn't like that. Like, I could feel it, like, immediately. And it was really cool. Like, I just was like, holy shit, like, I can breathe. And even though I felt really, really dizzy, I felt really excited and really happy, just, like, overwhelmingly happy. I didn't think I needed top surgery. And I, like, it's really on the podcast. Like, it's in the T-clip episode.
I know.
Where I'm, I was thinking, I don't need top surgery. Like,
I know.
I don't
I was listening back to
I don't have, I was saying, like, I don't have chest dysphoria. And that wasn't, like, totally true. I just didn't know that what I was experiencing was dysphoria.
Mm.
Like, I just didn't really think it was, because there's a lot of things I really liked about my chest. One, I had absolutely perfect tits.
Yeah, they're amazing.
A1, round, perfect, perky.
Yeah.
All of it. And that was also with binding a lot, too, which, like, changes your tits. Like, it makes them fucking different. But I was still absolutely killing it.
Yeah. Literally juicy.
Juicy, voluptuous, yeah. Beautiful. And I really, and I made money off of them too. Like, I sold pics. I talked to old men online and flashed them my tits. And, like, I had, like, a very, like, a working relationship with those bad boys.
Yeah.
So I just thought that meant that I didn't need top surgery. But at a certain point in therapy, my therapist gave me permission to want top surgery, even if I wasn't gonna, like, die if I didn't have it. And that was really freeing to think it's just an option. Like, it's just a choice. You don't have to feel like...
Well, I think that's, like, also aligned with, because gender-affirming care can be so hard to access, that you kind of feel like, oh, well, I'm not the most deserving person of it if I don't feel like I can go on. I mean, it should instead just be accessible to anybody who it would make their life better in any way if they want it. Not life or death necessarily.
Yeah. Totally, yeah. I had to, like, unpack that too, because I felt like I wasn't deserving. And I remember I also had, like, a therapy moment where I was like, I don't know, I just, like, haven't suffered enough. Like, I don't deserve this, you know? And my therapist was like, cool. So would you say that to somebody else, or are you just being mean to yourself? And I was like, right. So honestly, going through top surgery made me realize more about the dysphoria from before. And a lot did come up. And I like had kind of like a sad moment in there too, where I was like, kind of, like, confused and just felt like a weight on my shoulders. What I kept being able to come back to was how much fucking better my life was materially, like, in the moment. Because binding is so fucked for your back and ribs. It's so crazy fucked. So if you are binding more than you're not, consider that. Because that was my thing, is I would, like, I just thought I didn't, like, bind enough. I was like, I'm fine with my tits enough of the time. Mm-hmm. But I started experiencing really horrible, horrible symptoms. I don't know if you remember when I went through my tape phase.
Yeah.
But when I was, like, taping, because it was more comfortable than binding, because I couldn't bind anymore because my fucking back was going to explode. But then I started developing crazy rashes.
Yeah, you're allergic to the adhesive.
Allergic to the adhesive. And, like, literally my entire upper body was completely, like, red and blistered. And that's when I was like, all right, enough of it. Like, just because, like, that's still dysphoria. Hello. If I'm literally putting on new tape on, like, blistered skin, but I'm literally saying on a podcast with my full chest, I don't have chest dysphoria.
Yeah. So, confusing. Yeah. Well, it's confusing. Yeah. But I mean, you did such a beautiful job of changing your mind.
Thank you. And you know? shout out to my plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
Last night, I took 3 extra large edibles, and I showered for, like, 2 hours.
My God.
I was playing. I felt like a little kid.
You're, like,
again.
Splashing.
Literally, I was like, yay! Like, I was, like, literally splashing, blowing bubbles.
Yeah.
Doing the George Washington hair thing.
That sounds so fun.
It was the most fun
I've
ever had.
Been there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Childlike, like, wonder achieved through 3 large edibles.
Check. Childlike wonder unlocked. Have you blackout high? But no, I recently have been discovering, like, I think I told you I keep, like, freaking myself out. I keep getting way too high and then realizing that I'm, like, sitting in complete silence, no music playing, and just staring off into space for, like, very long periods of time. So when that happened yesterday, or a couple days ago, after I sent you all those videos, I was like, okay, I need to get active. So then I'm like, I'm literally just pacing the room, but with the same energy.
That wouldn't freak you out more, then, bro.
Wait, I was telling this to someone the other day. I was like, when I get high, even if I'm completely alone, I start freaking out as to how I'd be perceived if there was a camera installed and someone was watching it and I didn't know about it.
You have got to unpack that one.
I know. I think about stuff all the time. Like, if I'm alone, I'm like, all right, well, but if someone was watching, would this look normal? So then I'm sitting there thinking I'm so high. I'm like, okay, I've been staring for 45 minutes. Like, that's got to look weird. Let me get up and pace around a little.
And then you're pacing around and you're like,
and then I realize, holy shit.
That looks crazy.
This looks almost worse than before. So then I turned on some music. I started dancing around a little.
Mm-hmm. No.
I started moving. I started, but it wasn't full out dancing. So it was weird. It was like the kind of dancing where it's like, where it's like, I feel like someone's watching me dancing. Like I couldn't dance like no one was watching.
Okay, right.
Because to me, someone was watching closely.
Someone is monitoring your every move alone in your room.
Exactly. So then I'm like, all right, I turn it off. And then after about like 2 to 3 hours of that vibe, I finally remembered the TV existed.
You could just put on the TV.
Oh,
and let someone else.
The whole time I had been like, what are even my options right now? I was like, my options are sit, pace, and dance.
I'm joking.
I was like, those are the only three things I could do right now. I don't have access to the kitchen. I'm being way too fucking weird. And then finally, it occurred to me that, like, media existed.
Right.
And that was a game changer.
Right, because if you're watching something, you can't be watched.
Exactly. So I did end up turning on the TV. And it turned out to be fine, ultimately.
But, I'm really happy you got through that moment.
Yeah.
That's like a theory that since we grew up on the internet, we like
always think someone's watching,
or we're always perceiving our own actions because we're so aware of how we're perceived.
Yeah,
Gen Z things.
No, for real.
Gen Z vibes. Is that freaking you out? It's
freaking me out. You're okay. Making Becca really uncomfortable.
Becca's scared for their fucking life.
It turns out we're like hype house people.
I am hype house.
You do have hype house vibes. Thank sometimes.
You. Dude, the other day, Jules says, oh my gosh, I ran into this person and they were wearing a crazy outfit, like insane. And I was like, what? Like, tell me more. And you were like, oh, it was just the most insane outfit I've ever seen. Oh, it was exactly like something you would wear. Huh? The fuck am I supposed to take that?
No. First of all, context. Second of all, tone. You didn't nail either.
Okay.
My tone was loving. And my context was that I think your outfits are amazing. And I personally was shocked to see a person wearing an outfit like this who up until that point had dressed maybe in a way that is way more like somehow like I dress, which I strive
like
to dress.
Like a normal fucking person.
No, a safe.
Okay. Safe. Wow.
You're being bold and making choices. Mm-hmm. And I've always admired that about you.
Wow, thank you. I've always have been absolutely stunting on these hoes.
No, for real. You've always had like this insane wardrobe. And yeah.
I used to wear like a faux fur coat like just to my college courses.
Exactly.
Like when I was presenting femme, I was like, I'm going all the way the fuck in. No. I feel like it's why no one could like perceive that I was trans.
No, that's so true.
Up until I came out because I was just literally serving cunt too hard.
You were. You really were.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I really admire that about you. And I think that also was one of the first reasons like
you were scared of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just in case anyone hasn't heard this in the other episodes, the first time me and Jules met, Jules really got a bad vibe from me because I was wearing a black flat brim hat.
And that freaked me out.
Really, really freaked out Jules.
I was like, whoa.
Like, I can't be around this person.
Holy shit.
I was really giving that character Violet from American Horror Story.
Yeah.
I was wearing a button-up dress.
You were giving Coven.
Yeah, button-up dress and, like, tights and boots and a flat brim hat with, like, a funky scarf and earrings.
And, like, crystals all over you.
Yeah.
And I was just, like...
Like a crystal necklace.
We don't have bitches like this in Maryland. Okay.
When I was a girl, I was a crystal girly.
Yeah.
Really hard. Like, really intensely.
The shit out of
like,
me.
Used patchouli as deodorant vibes.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So, I have this theory... But I think it only might apply to you and me.
Okay.
But when you were coming out, did you think you were doing it for attention?
100%, yeah. 100%.
If you feel this way too, write in.
In fact, dude, I literally said that to my first girlfriend.
You said, I'm doing this for attention?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I said it as a joke, but it was a real thought. And I, like, she had been like, oh, are you... Because I went from straight...
Yeah, absolutely, to sucking cocks weekly.
To lesbian mm-hmm. in about literally 24 hours.
Yeah, you had no bi phase.
No bi phase. I was like, immediately didn't...
Immediately lesbian.
I have experienced everything enough. I need to experience on that end. So I'm going to shut... I'm going to close that door. Permanently unlock it and throw away the fucking key.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, like, literally even, like, my ex-girlfriend and I had a conversation. We didn't talk for 2.5 years, and then we had a conversation. And she was like, she asked me, she was like, so have you, like, gone back to men yet? Like, almost implying I still was doing it for attention.
Dude, and your second girlfriend after you fucking ate her pussy was like, so
you
are gay.
Wow, you really are gay.
So rude.
I was speaking to my therapist yesterday, mm-hmm. and I was like, I don't know. I feel like in periods of my life that I've been single, I have always, like, had a very easy time meeting people that I would potentially date mm-hmm. after, you know, whatever. And I feel like I have been on, and I don't want to say, like, basically, I feel like I've gone on dates with a couple people, and, like, I've been like, wow, like, they are so nice and cool and smart and funny and, like, I don't want to see them again. Like, I'm just, like, not interested.
Oh, because you have standards now.
Because I have standards for the first time. That's where I was going. Yeah, yeah. My therapist was like, yes, so actually what's happening right. is you are meeting really cool people who you don't have actual, like, chemistry with. Mm-hmm. And rather than just being like, gonna make it work and push through anyway, you are deciding to move along to find someone who maybe is better suited to you.
Yeah. You guys see the Golden Bachelor finale?
So, listen, for the Golden Bachelor, it's just made me really realize something. You don't need to be a Golden Bachelor listener to know this, but basically, it gets to the final two, and there's one that you're positive that he's going to pick, and then they have these overnight dates, and he does, like, a total 180. And this is why you need to have sex on the first date every goddamn time.
That is so real.
Because he had this crazy emotional connection mm-hmm. with this woman the whole time, and everyone was like, he's going to pick her, and then, like, this other woman who was, like, much weirder and they weren't totally compatible and she wasn't going to win. Then they have the overnight date where presumably they fucked. And he was, like, over this other woman and all in on her. And it's like, damn.
Yeah.
And that's just how it goes.
No, that is why you have to throw it back immediately.
Exactly.
As soon as possible.
Because, God, like, I think about, like, okay, you just, like...
You're wasting your time.
All this time because maybe you find out you're not sexually compatible.
Yeah. You gotta get to it. Skip all the middle part, okay?
It's tough. That's happened to me before.
What, where you went on a bunch of dates with someone and then when you fucked, it wasn't good?
Yeah. And here's how I know I've grown.
Okay.
I always fuck on the first date, but then recently I've been going on these first dates and I've been like, you know what?
I don't want to
have sex with this person. And so I'm not going to. Where usually I'm like, ugh, well, we've had a couple drinks and like... I'm here.
Might as well have
Let's
sex.
Let's see what we look like naked.
Yeah. How was your Spotify Wrapped? Scary or horrifying?
It was scary and horrifying. Mm-hmm. And here's how I know it's a fucking hoax.
What's a hoax?
All of it. Okay?
Okay.
I listened to Versace on the Floor by Bruno Mars. And
every day.
And Versace on the Floor remix. Bruno Mars and David Guetta. 40 to 50 times a day. In complete seriousness.
Dude, how do you is know? Versace on the Floor not in your top
do
five?
Do you want to... Oh, it wasn't even in my Wrapped at all.
Wow.
It was nowhere to be found.
Wow. That's
And
a
you're
scam.
Telling me...
Versace on the Floor
Versace
on there.
On the Floor. Do you know the song Versace on the Floor? Okay.
You guys, if you haven't...
Yeah.
You guys, if you haven't heard it, it goes a little something like this.
Here's my thing. Can I speak on it for a moment?
Oh, man, I wouldn't hear. It'll be our closeout song, don't worry.
Versace on the Floor is one of the most honest pieces mm-hmm. of writing mm-hmm. in regards mm-hmm. to having sex that a man has ever written. Because mm-hmm. it's honest, it has low expectations, and it's not, like, claiming, like, you know, most songs, it's like, I'm gonna make you come, girl, or, like, I'm gonna, like... rock your world. He's like, let's just kiss till we're naked.
Let's just, let's, shall we
shall we just dissect? Kiss till we're naked?
Shall we dissect We can just sing it.
Okay.
Let's take our time tonight, girl.
Pause there, sorry. Immediately saying, like, you set the pace. Mm-hmm. There's no rush. Doesn't need to be a quick fuck.
And gender affirming with the girl. Affirmed.
This is like genius. Right? Affirmed. And yeah. It only gets crazier. Okay, ready? Above us all
sorry,
the stars.
Sorry, I forgot. What's the next tune?
Let's just follow along.
Okay.
Above us all the stars are watching. That's just a fact.
Okay, yeah. He's not lying. He's not gaslighting.
That is true. There's no place I'd rather be in this world.
Words of affirmation. Yeah.
He's like, I'm so happy to be here. I can't even think of another place I would rather be.
Your eyes are where I'm lost in.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Beautiful. Yeah.
Underneath. This is the part where it gets really high because he has like a crazy range.
Underneath the chandelier, we're dancing all alone.
That tells me he's rented out an event space for this. He's rented out a room with a chandelier.
Right.
Alone.
Right.
They're not with anybody else. That's romantic and also not overtly sexual. So it's not like he like brought her somewhere and he was like, you're going to get fucked after this. Like, this was mostly a romantic move. Okay.
Let's turn down.
Oh, whoa, sorry. Okay.
whoa.
Okay.
Let's turn down the lights and close the door.
He likes to do it in the dark.
Ooh, I love that dress, but you won't need it anymore.
Okay.
Those are the facts.
He's like,
I love that dress.
I love it. First of all, where the hell did you get that?
Amazing dress. How much was it? It's on me next time because it looks so that incredible dress is on you.
That's okay, great. And then he's like, but I just want you to know, for me, you don't need it anymore because yeah. I'm ready to see your naked body.
And your naked body is more beautiful than that expensive gown.
Yeah, that I love, that I love, by the way. Yeah.
That I'm obsessed with.
Okay. Just precursor, this is one of the most brilliant lines in Tom Ray. Okay.
Need it anymore.
Let's just kiss till naked, baby. Versace on the floor. Let's just kiss till we're naked.
Yeah.
When has that ever not happened during a hookup?
Yeah.
Like,
that's all you need.
And honestly, like, just love how you can feel the sexuality, kind of interpret it how you want it. Because it's not like he's gonna be like, I'm gonna tear your fucking dress, I'm gonna bend you over, and like,
he's not even saying how you're gonna feel.
Right.
He's not projecting anything onto you. He's just saying, let's kiss till we're naked.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Love nothing more. None of this funny business that all you freaks are doing nowadays.
Yeah.
All right?
He wants to kiss till we're naked. Fuck out.
Jesus
Christ. Take clothes off and then make out naked. Nothing better. Okay.
Thank you, Bruno. Oh, I don't think we need to go any further.
Well, there's one more thing. I won't have to sing it, okay. But he says, I'll unzip the back and watch it fall while I kiss your neck and shoulders.
That sounds great.
That sounds great.
It sounds sort of like a somatic healing practice.
Yeah. He's gonna
unzip. I'm looking forward to that.
He's gonna unzip the back, he's gonna let it fall, and he's just gonna give my neck and shoulders kisses.
Yeah. Okay, as I'm changing, love it. Listen, we have some write-ins. I would love to give some people some advice. Are you ready for that?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. So.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Here you go. All right. So this person writes in and says, what do I do if your partner's friends don't like you? So, you know, I don't know if me and Jules are the best people for this because we have the best personalities in the world and everyone loves us immediately upon meeting.
No, that's not true.
No, that's actually not true. But I don't know. Do you have anything for that?
Yes. What do you do if your partner's friends don't like you?
Yeah.
Here's my thing with this. If you love your partner
and treat them well.
And treat them well and you don't have like you're not being fucking rude to their friends, there should be no reason their friends like should actively not like you.
So their friends are being fucking freaks and they need to chill the fuck out. Seriously.
Well, I just think like don't, you know, it's okay. Like, maybe you're just not compatible with them. I don't know. But I also will say, like,
are they being rude to you? Like, are they like, I don't like that bitch? Or are they just, like, not hanging out with you all the time? Right in.
I don't think it's their responsibility to take you in and, like, become your best friend.
Right.
But I think that.
But they should make an effort.
They should make an effort. And it sounds like you're making an effort. And my other thing is, you should never tell your partner that, like, you don't like your friend, their friends.
Or that their friends don't like you.
Yeah. Or, wait, I'm so lost.
I don't know. I feel like if, I don't know. You've dated some absolutely horrendous people.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until they were actively mistreating you that I've ever shared that I didn't like them. And even then, I usually was, like, nice about it at first until it got too far. And then I would act crazy and say that I'm going to kill the person you're dating.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. But I mean, like, what I think where I was coming from is it came to a point where in my last relationship, she told me that she didn't like my friends. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, it's picking my friends.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I'm picking my friends. Like, those are that's my family.
Okay, wait, that might give this person anxiety, though. It sounds like we're saying that your partner should pick their friends over your
them. Oh, God, sorry. I forgot what the question was.
Okay. This person's partner has friends that don't like them. Okay, here's some other advice. Literally, have you tried like a really kind gesture and words of affirmation? That's what I always go for. So you could, like, if you see something out and it looks like something, you can get them a little gift and then give it to them and be like, dude, I saw this. I got you this little gift. And then also say something really nice about them. Like, whatever it is that you like about them, or if you notice a good quality, just be like, oh, I love how you are such a good cook. Every time you're over here, you're just making something. And that's incredible. Usually I find compliments and gifts will make people be friends with you.
Okay. Well, here's my thing is, like, be nice and be respectful. And if they still don't like you, I mean...
That's weird. They probably want to fuck your partner.
Oh, my God.
They do. Why else? Why else would they be rude? If you're treating your partner well, and their friends don't like you, that makes no sense.
Yeah, if you guys are just maybe incompatible, I think that's totally okay.
And you should tell your partner to speak the fuck up for you, too. Be like, hey, your friends are rude as fuck and hate me. Can you say something? Because if I brought someone around who was treating me well and you guys were all being crazy rude to that person, I would be like, hey, guys, calm the fuck down. Stop being a bitch to the person I'm dating.
No, you're right. You're right.
Okay, this says, how do I just hook up with someone? I always catch feels.
You were barking up the wrong tree, mama.
Mama, I don't have it for you.
You're good at that.
Am I? Think about everyone I've ever slept with.
We're both really bad at that. Actually, maybe I am better at it.
I think you are better at it. Think about everyone I've ever slept with.
Yeah, you get into an immediate.
They're like all on my close friends list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I'm just like friends with them forever.
Yeah. It's something that I actually. What I would say is if you're going in with the intention of just a hookup, like, keep your cards a little closer, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to become best friends with everybody that you're having sex with, unless that's, like, what makes you comfortable, then in that case, by all means, yes.
But that maybe is the issue also. Or just, like, boundaries. Yeah. Like, if you're like, I don't want to catch feelings for... Also, what's wrong with catching feelings? Is it, an issue in your life? Well, because...
There's a lot of reasons.
Right. I guess your issue is that you catch feelings for people with heinous personalities. Mm-hmm. That's not true. Honestly, everyone you've caught feelings for did present really
start with
well
a really good personality.
In the beginning. You just don't cut it off when they do a personality reveal.
Yeah.
Because you empathize too much.
Yes. That is complete. Right. And that's what I mean. I go off immediately. Like, if I had sat down with a person and they had given me immediate bad vibes, I would have been like, okay, never mind. Mm-hmm. But these people are putting on little acts and tricks,
little circus dances.
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah.
And I'm just like, little magic tricks. Yes. Give it to me. And then I'm way too in.
Mm-hmm. Should I flirt with my ex's roommate? No.
No.
Nope. Okay. My ex has been using my card for their Audible subscription. How should I get revenge? Okay. And then another question is, how should we get revenge on chasers? Just in case anyone doesn't know what chasers is, chasers are people who really want to have sex with trans people, and they typically have a bad rep for it. They're like fetishizing trans people, and then they also will be like, oh, I just want to fuck you, but I don't want to tell anyone.
Yeah.
So how do we also get revenge on chasers? So me and Jules are really skilled in revenge.
Yeah, big time.
We have some suggestions for you of how you can get revenge. We'll start with sand bed. Sandbed is a revenge tactic me and Jules created in college when a frat boy deeply, deeply wronged her. Whether or not we went through with this plan, we cannot say.
But what the plan is that you find a way to gain access to their house.
You gotta get in their house.
And that could be...
That's the hardest part of this plan.
But not even, because here's the thing. Maybe you go...
Go it, over and just to be like, hey, like, hey, can, like, we how, talk?
Can we like, talk? Or like, let's hook up, whatever. In your arm, you have a purse or a bag. In that bag is a lot of sand, olive oil, and balsamic.
No, sorry. You couldn't be more wrong. Actually, no, you're very close. You're very close. In your bag is a lot of sand and a thing of pesto.
Pesto. Sorry, yes, it is pesto.
It's sand and pesto. Yes, yes. At this point, yes. You are going to rub pesto
all over, the bed. Pillow.
First rub it on the sheets and then take the sheet off and
put it on the bare mattress.
Mattress, okay? Then put everything back and as you sprinkle, put each layer back, sprinkling sand. You're making the bed. The last layer, try your damnedest to get nothing on the top layer so that they don't see it immediately.
So they will get into bed.
If their bed is unmade, that's fine. When they leave the room, just say, hey, I made your bed for you.
Yeah.
Hey.
Made your bed for you. Yeah.
At that point,
that does make it very clear that you've the one. You did
right. Okay. Sorry. Delete the last part. Get out of there. The second you're done, get out of there.
Run.
They can know it was you.
Yeah, it's obviously you.
The damage is done. You've done it. Mm-hmm. So
the pesto will never come out of the the smell, the color.
Our friend got a concussion and we didn't have any ice packs, so she was just putting a bag of pasta.
A pesto
like
pasta.
Like Trader Joe's pesto pasta.
And it leaked a little?
And it leaked a little, and her bed never stopped smelling of pesto ever. So that's sort of where we got this.
The sand, we don't need to explain.
Yeah.
That speaks for itself.
If you've ever been to the beach, you know exactly what we're talking about.
So we can suggest that.
All right. This got sent in to us. Strap in. Me and a close friend at the time kissed to figure out if we were actually gay or just really into our situationships.
Wait, what?
You heard it. They kissed each other to figure out if they were actually gay. Two close friends.
Oh, I see. And then the situations that they were in
with other people. Gay. Yes, they were in gay situationships, and they both felt like maybe we're not gay. We should kiss each other to figure out.
They probably thought they were doing it for attention.
In parentheses, it says baby gays at the time.
Okay.
We had a small friend group with our situationships. Once she told her situationship that we kissed, they got so mad and ruined every outing we tried to go on as a group.
I love that.
Iconic. My situationship at the time was hurt at first, but understood, and now we're in a committed relationship to this day. That friend group never recovered because that one girl became one of the worst people and they still hook up privately.
Yes, I love that vibe.
It's hard to watch because I ended up losing that close friend over that horrible thing that situationship caused. I love zero accountability for you.
No, obsessed. I am not on your side.
They gaslight everyone to think they're just friends, but they fuck, and my close friend gets led on year after year. And it hurts to watch, but we're not friends anymore, so that hurts too. So dumb.
And this person ruins the outings?
Yes.
Okay, I love that about them.
How are they ruining the outings?
No, I love that vibe. I love that vibe of being like, I'm not gonna do anything to like physically harm you or anything like that, but every time you go out to have a good time, I'm gonna make it terrible.
Yo, that is some shit I would do for real. I'm not going to address these problems. I'm just going to be the worst version of myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, first, you should acknowledge that kissing someone that you're in a close friend group with, that they're dating that person, like, that's going to cause tension. So just take your accountability, babes. Like, we love you. It's okay. But just take your little daily dose of accountability for that one. And listen, your close friend will come back when they stop deluding themselves with that situationship that is clearly lame AF. All right, here's the last thing someone sent in. The girl I like at school is perfect, and we both really like each other. We're both really touchy with each other when we're drunk, but we always forget what happened and never talk about it. How do I make my feelings clear without it being awkward?
Okay.
Wait, what do you mean you don't remember? Are you blacking out every time and then you can't remember what happened between you guys?
It's okay if that's what's happening, but maybe just, like, take a beat and hang out. I think you should hang out sober.
Yeah, I would say definitely. I would
feel the vibe, because maybe you just have drunk chemistry, you know?
I would say hang out sober and be bold. Hang out sober and, like, do the shit you do when you're drunk.
Or instead of... Or
it just takes 10 seconds of bravery for a lifetime of courage. I don't know what that line... I mean...
I was going to say, rather than just being, like, touchy-feely, maybe hang out sober and be like... Like, one time I had somebody say to me, like, hey, do you think we have insane sexual chemistry? And I was just like... Yeah. And then they were like, do you think we should have sex? And I was like, yeah.
Okay. So, baby, let's just turn down the lights and close the door. Ooh. Wait, can we make it lower?
It's so high.
Baby, let's just turn down the lights and close the door. Ooh, I love that dress, but you won't need it anymore. You won't need it no more. Let's just kiss till we're naked, baby. Versace on the floor. Take it off for me now, girl. Versace on the floor.
Thank you guys so much.
Right now. Take it off for me now, girl.
And thank you so much,
Versace,
to Becca.
Versace on the floor. Oh, yeah. Take it off for me now, girl.
This is a Fruit House production.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.